The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The people need a shepherd. Have you seen them, clamoring for the promised righteous one, the one who will deal wisely and lead them into the future? For the better part of the past 2 years, they've been impossible to miss. Our TV screens, internet feeds, and radio waves have been filled up with the sights and sounds of people rallying behind the leader they've been seeking. It's a process we're all too familiar with, if for no other reason than it repeats itself every 4 years. And we listen to what they have to say, what promises they will make to us, and why it is vitally important that they be the person chosen to lead our nation. Make no mistake, every candidate, win or lose, desperately wanted to be our shepherd. And in their minds, they are the only one who can lead us into a glorious and prosperous future. Each one made sure to claim that the other was totally unqualified for the role of president, and each of them made the claim that they, and they alone, were the only right, or perhaps righteous, choice for our future. But this morning, no matter what country is listed on your birth certificate, or what state is on your driver's license, it is not to a temple of vanity or ego or even democracy that we have come to worship. This morning, we come to worship and we celebrate the end of our year in the life of the church in a particularly appropriate way, celebrating Christ the King. The festival of Christ the King is actually one of the most recent additions to the church year. This festival day, this day where we pay particular attention to to the reign of Christ as King and Lord of all was only added to the church calendar in 1925. Pope Pius XI had seen the horror that ravaged Europe during the First World War, and in the period of recovery afterwards, he was confronted with the growing rise of fascist leaders promising to restore their countries to their previous greatness. Mussolini would have been in power for 3 years already in the Pope's home country of Italy, and populism and fascism would have been the order of the day in the country around him. So this festival was specifically created by the church in that context as something that stood far outside what the everyday person on the street had become so used to hearing. As we are called on this day to reflect on Christ our King, we are met again with the words of the prophet Jeremiah, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." For some of us, this may certainly call to mind the words of Christ from John's Gospel when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." And when we hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah, it may bring up an idea about people who would pose as spiritual leaders only to lead people away from Christ. But these words carry more meaning than that. During the course of his ministry, Jeremiah saw five kings: Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah come to power in Judah only to see the collapse of the kingdom and their ultimate exile into Babylon. Here, as the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah, the role of shepherd, of guardian over the people of God, is not a role primarily defined by spiritual leadership, but rather he is speaking to the ones who held the ultimate political power, all the authority of the crown, the power of the state. When the Lord speaks to these shepherds through the words of Jeremiah, saying, "It is you who have scattered my flock," this is an address aimed at those in power who have not, from their high places, cared for the people. It is an address to those who, from their position of power within the state, have done true spiritual damage to the people of God. But surely this is not the case for us. Our political leaders do not oversee or administer our religious life. We have a firm separation of church and state in this country. But that belief, our hope in that provision of human law, is exactly what allows for us to fail to realize just how much power our political leaders command in our lives. In fact, because they are expressly not running for an office which oversees the church, we are taken advantage of by the scale of their rhetoric. When they speak to us in such a way that they make us believe that the only hope for our future is their coming to power, they are doing far more than aiming to be our civil shepherds. They are moving themselves into the role of gods in our lives. Our political climate has grown to such a place that no matter which side of the aisle you sit on, we have become compelled to support these people in such a way that we are drawn to place all our earthly hopes in them. And these false shepherds, winners or losers, rely on this idolatry in order to bring them into power. But our earthly hope does not rest in them. Our earthly hope is our eternal hope, and our only hope is in Jesus Christ. When we are brought to a point where we begin to believe that the only way for us to be faithful followers of Jesus is for us to support a flawed and sinful human being to become our leader, we are being guided by false shepherds. Because we have been shown what a true shepherd is and what a true shepherd does. The true shepherd is the one who, when the great tempter offered him all the power to rule over the people, standing on the top of the temple, he rejected it without a thought. Our true shepherd is the man we meet in our gospel today, hung on a cross with convicted criminals, not seeking to be vindictive to those in power who had sent him there, but asking God to forgive them. That is the King. There, on the cross, is the only one who can truly deliver what he promises. This week, the church commemorates Blessed Miguel Agustin Pro, a Jesuit priest from Mexico who became a martyr of the faith. Father Pro served as a priest in Mexico in the late 1920s, the period of time following the Mexican Revolution. During this time, the Mexican government had specific provisions against the church where, among other things, pastors could be fined excessive amounts for wearing their clericals, their collars, in public. And this provision even extended to nuns who could be fined for wearing their habits as well. Confronted with religious persecution on every front, Father Pro did the things that the church is called to. He led services, administered the sacraments, and preached Christ. Even as the church became totally outlawed and parishes were forced to worship underground. Father Pro was arrested on trumped-up charges, having been falsely accused of participating in a failed assassination attempt on the president of Mexico. And even though his innocence was known, he was very publicly sent to the firing squad. And in that moment, where surely we would have been overwhelmed with anger at the government, a moment where it would have been only natural to call for someone, for anyone else, to be brought into power, so that this true injustice would not happen. This was not what Father Pro did. Instead, when he went to his death, he remembered what happened to our shepherd the day he was hung on the cross. Father Pro, standing strong with a strength only found in the Lord, was prepared to endure what was about to come, and he asked for God's mercy and blessing on those who were about to kill him. And he proclaimed his forgiveness to them for what they were about to do. And with his last breath, in the moment when the state the rulers and leaders and politicians had so utterly failed. In that moment, the last thing he said was, "Viva Cristo Rey," long live Christ the King. There will be times when our government and our leaders will do things we are happy about. And there will be times when they will do things that we are angry about. Candidates will come and candidates will go. And there will continue to be times when they and the voices who support them will seek to have each of us, baptized Christians who have been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit, to have each of us place our hope in them and entrust our future to them. And when the words of the prophet Jeremiah ring out, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. I will attend to you for your evil doings," says the Lord. We will know that this is not the end of the story. We know what the rest of the prophecy says. Because there will be false shepherds, and the sheep will be scattered. The Lord promises that he will come and gather them up to him. He promises that he will send us a true king, one who will deal wisely and execute justice and righteousness. And we will know him by his name. The Lord is our righteousness. That is, he will be called the Messiah. That one, the one who hung on a cross with his crown of thorns, proclaiming forgiveness to those who put him there. The one who defeated death so that we may live with him forever. The one who meets us at the table every time we come. That one is the King in whom we put every ounce of our faith and hope. Viva Cristo Rey. Long live Christ the King. Amen.